Underwood. Thin ice!
To smoke some weed and shut up. My God.
Oh, I thought for sure.
There it is. Boom!
Yes!
Switching pens. All right. Episode 185, Illini Basketball Podcast, ArmchairIllini.com, brought to you Armchair Illini, straight up, ArmchairIllini.com, and other stuff on there. December 26, 2023. This will be one of our last of the year, maybe the last.
Maybe, yeah. Sorry I was running late, guys. You know, some things came up.
It's on him, yeah, not me. Nice try, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. For once, it's my fault, not Ethan. So,
big news.
Yeah. Hope everybody's doing good. Illinois massacred Missouri. If you came by the watch party, we appreciate you. We know the audio was horrendous, so we apologize for that. So if you sat through that and dealt with that audio, you're the real ones. So, but we had a good time. Ethan, you know, great time. He had great time, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whenever the lights come on and the camera turns on, you got to perform. And I feel like I was okay. You know, maybe a C-plus performance for me. I probably could have been a little bit better.
That's true.
I don't know. I think the game being the way it was, which is really not even a game, is kind of good on one end. And
I
not
think it probably helped.
The other.
Yeah, having that big a crowd and we had some issues in the first half. With the internet and things, but all in all, I thought it was a good time. Yeah, and Illinois just obliterated Missouri, which made it even better. So,
yeah, I do think there's something to the fact that from a viewership perspective, it may have been better if Illinois had either been in a close game or lost, but obviously we don't want that. But, you know, it's hard not to beat that Missouri team like that because they're bad. I think that's my biggest takeaway from the game is how bad Missouri is.
Yeah. And Illinois looked really good.
Yes, but also Missouri is so bad.
It's true. Jeff says up 2 in the AP. Yeah, 13-11. Schlagboy, what's going on? Gary, I won't tell your wife. You said that. Steve, how are you doing? Thanks for stopping by, guys. I guess we'll start with our pogs, like usual. Shocker, I went with Quincy Guerrier for the third time in a row. So, career high, 28 points in 31 minutes. 8 for 15, 5 of 8 from 3. Perfect from the line, 7 of 7, 8 rebounds. A steal. Really good game from Quincy. Quincy is, I think he's becoming the number two player. I know people said that it was going to be Damask for a while. I'm calling it right now. It is Quincy Guerrier. Underwood called him, quote, a violent driver of the basketball. Seems extreme, but.
You know, this team, I think right now has a rotating cast of number twos, but the clear number one is Terrence Shannon Jr.
Absolutely.
That's my player of the game. 34 minutes, 30 points, 9 of 14 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 10 of 16 from the line, missed 6 free throws. But
struggle.
Could have easily been like a 34-point night at least. Yeah. 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, there was a lot said about him last week about how he shows up to the gym at 4:45 a.m. and shoots for an hour because they did that day in the life video with him.
Yeah.
And I know he's probably been doing that routine for a long time, but I think it's showing up more than ever this season. And I think we're witnessing one of the biggest jumps that a player has had under Brad Underwood and like that's not a freshman in a long time.
What do you think that he's doing better? I mean, because this is who he was last year. Do you think that he's
a more consistent shooter,
scoring more consistently at the rim too? There were a lot of times
he's not turning the ball over on some of those plays that we saw him last year doing that. But I also think, you know what else helps him is that I feel like teams can't rely as much on trying to get the ball away from him whenever there's so many other things to worry about around him.
Yeah, that's true.
Like if Guerrier is making threes, I know Damask has struggled from three. I still think he'll find it. And Coleman made three threes. I feel like if they're going to be doing that, you can't try to, you know, collapse or trap or do anything to Shannon in the ways that they maybe could. But I also think it's a credit to him and how much better he's become at just the little things in a lot of different areas of the game, where he's just like, he's like 37 of 47 at the rim or something, or I don't even know. That's probably not the right number, but he's only missed 10 shots at the rim. So
that's pretty good. Yeah. And him and Quincy and Hawkins scored 29 of the first 31 points in this game. So
any concern that Missouri scored 49 in the second half?
A little bit, I think.
Garbage time.
Yeah, it's hard to get up when you're beating the brakes off of somebody, I think.
Missouri was also going to start they're also going to start making threes at some point.
Right. Yeah, they struggled mightily in the first half. So,
I think they started like 1 for 17 and then went 5 for 10 after that, so
yeah.
They're terrible. I mean, that I said it to you after the game, that's one of the worst power conference teams I've seen this season. And that's not like overall, because I haven't watched everybody play a full game yet. Like, I'm not going to sit there and watch Cal. I'm sure they're worse. But that Missouri team is bad, man. They're bad.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how they stayed in that game with Kansas for so long.
But I think Kansas really plays down to their opponents. Like, Kansas barely beat Eastern Illinois.
That's true.
Yale was up on them in the half Friday night. So I think it says a little bit more about Kansas. But like Missouri just – I think they really swung and missed in a lot of these portal additions. Like Tamar Bates has been okay, but he's not a number one. And Sean East, I mean, he's good, but he's not – he's probably not a number one either. So,
yeah,
that's tough.
Jason says, I think I've come to the conclusion that whatever point guard skills Ty Rogers lacks, he makes up for in game-winning plays. He creates so many extra chances for this team. Yeah, Ty Rogers, he does the little things as a – I don't even know if we can call him a point guard, because I feel like Damask has been handling the ball more or bringing the ball up the court more than Rogers at this point. I just like to see Ty Rogers take a 15-foot jumper. I just want to see it. I know that it probably will he'll throw it over the backboard, but – I just like
according to Ken Pom, Illinois' lineup, which I don't know how he determines this or how it's implemented, but Terrence Shannon is the point guard, Ty Rogers is the shooting guard, Damask is the small forward, Gary is a power forward, and Hawkins is center.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there's nobody else listed as the point guard on the team except for Shannon and I guess DGL, but DGL doesn't really play, so it doesn't really count.
Yeah.
Or Max Williams or AJ Redd are not listed as anything, obviously. So
I mean, I think it's safe to say that this team doesn't have a true point guard or a point guard at all. I mean, but Damask, this game had 7 assists.
This was one of their best assist games, I think.
Yeah, so they have guys that are, you know, that will distribute the ball. Damask, you talked about shooting, he's 0 for 7 from 3. 4-12 from the field, had 10 points.
And I'll say this about the assist thing. I think part of it is that Missouri is so handsy and they overplay so much that the ball is going to need to move.
Yeah.
And it did. And also the Damask from three thing, I don't think we can worry about that quite yet. You look at the way Guerrier started the season. I know he had the wrist issue, but sometimes you just can't make them. And he's shooting 19.6% right now. Obviously, a lot of that is inflated due to the fact that he's 1 for 16 the last 3 games. But I don't think we panic about it. Like, if we're 3 or 4 games into Big Ten play mid-January and Damask is not making threes, then we worry. But also, guess what? Damask is not goody. He's not here to shoot 38 to 42%. He shot 35% last season at Southern Illinois and 34.5% the year before. So if he can get back towards that level, that's fine. Shannon's making them. Guerrier's making them. Hawkins made a couple. Hawkins, I think you probably said it during the game. Hawkins is the definition of being so much better at catching it and shooting it.
Yeah.
Than like anything else. He could, like the step back, it's not going to work. Dribbling into him, probably not going to work. If he's catching it and shooting it, he's a little bit more dangerous. And he made a couple deep ones too.
Yeah, and he was 3 of 5 from three. Which I mean, if we can get that from Hawkins every game, I think one of those was a step back. The other one was just a miss.
One of them was really deep.
Yeah. But yeah, if he can go 3 of 5 from three, that helps his team immensely. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block also. to go along with his 15 points. So, Jeffrey says Mizzou muddied up the game in the second half. They still scored 49
points. Well, they also fouled a lot, and not all of them were called, if we're being, you know, honest.
Lunker says we don't have a talented big man as our only downfall. Steve,
do you need a talented big man? I mean, maybe, I guess. I don't know.
It'd be nice to have a big man that could do something.
I think Dane just not. Here's the thing. Illinois is so much better when they're playing five out than anything else. Like, it's not even close. They're so much better at that.
That's true.
And then the guy you post up is your 6'6" white guy, who's probably the best guy on the team at posting up. So
yeah.
When we talked last season, you know what the word was last season going into the season about what the team was? It was versatility. I think this year's team is actually what last year's team was maybe supposed to be with versatility, because this year's team has a ton of it. And I think, you know, adding Damask and Gary, who are both versatile guys, Harmon as well, this team is I would use the word versatile much more with this team than last year's team.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve has a good point. He says they don't run a point guard offense. We don't need a point guard dribbling around. Lunker says we also don't have a true point guard, but I'm more scared of the big man dominating. Jeff says we just out-athletic Mizzou size and strength. Lunkers, we outran Mizzou. Our fast-paced offense destroyed them. Yeah, Illinois got out and transitioned so much in this game.
How many teams in the country run their offense through a big man, though? You know,
there's not many,
or are capable of doing it. You know, I don't know. I feel like Arizona obviously has Ballo, but
isn't that what we wanted? Illinois, like, the Big Ten has been set in its ways of dominant big men, and, you know, come to that realization that that doesn't win you.
How many teams in the Big Ten
in March?
How many teams in the Big Ten has their best player as a center right now? It's probably just Purdue, right?
One, yeah.
Because you look at, okay, Indiana. I mean, I guess Khalil Ware might be their best player so far this season, so that would be another one, 7-footer. So I would give him that. But Wisconsin, I think their best player is probably, you know, got to be what? Hepburn has not been very good this year offensively. Might be AJ Storr. I don't know. AJ Storr at 29 against Chicago State. Is it Stephen Crowell? I don't know. But, you know, like Northwestern, it's Bowie. Illinois, it's Shannon. Ohio State's probably Bruce Thornton, I guess.
Yeah.
Michigan's either Kumwa or McDaniel. Nebraska is Tominaga, I guess. I really, Nebraska, they're fine, but whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, Maryland, Jameer Young. Rutgers, I guess it's Cliff, but is it Cliff? I don't know. I just think that the Big Ten is starting to go away from that a little bit. I think that's just what Purdue is, and they can still win that way because of how good Edie is and how good of a coach Painter is. Plus, you look at the guards they have, that makes it a lot easier for them. But I do think Purdue, it won't be the same for Purdue in the tournament as it was for Virginia the year after they lost to a 16 seed. I think it's going to be a little bit different.
But I think that they're going to win the Natty after that.
I mean, I still think that they are, but I just think that it's not going to be because they run their offense through a big man.
Yeah. Lunker says, as long as we defend, we should be fine. We will have to double ED. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Jeffrey said Dane isn't fast enough to play in a game like that. I agree. Dane played 3 minutes in the game against Missouri, but yeah, that wasn't a game where he needed to play.
Hansberry was way better than him too.
Versatile and connected. They look more in tune with each other. A lot of people are saying this team definitely is playing more like a team. I think Brad took a little shot at the guys last year. I don't think he called them clowns, but it was something to that extent. Steve said Mizzou's coach said Illinois is a Final Four team and said they are built like the 89 team. I agree, yeah. He also said that they have skill all over the court. They have guys that play in versatile ways and that they're battle-tested. And he talked about the experience and they have how many guys Illinois has that have played 100-plus games. So. Lunker says he agrees. Great guards win in March.
Yep.
Lazy Forrest Gump says, I play Edie straight up and make everyone else break their defender down and make individual plays. I don't know.
Purdue is still two games away.
Yeah. Ryan says, just for fun, I was on Bartorvik and filtered the date from the Southern game until now. We are third in the country in adjusted efficiency. Since then, a hair ahead of Purdue. Bergie says 80-19 was much better.
I think it's weird to compare a team from 30-something years ago to now. I just think it's, you know, it's different. And also that other team had Steven Bardo on it. So
Bardo is getting some hate, by the way.
I can't wait to get into that. I think it's so Illini Twitter, it's not even funny.
Yeah. Yeah. On Coleman, they said Coleman was the first guy to get to the trophy, the Bragg and Rice trophy, you know, that sits 7 feet tall or whatever it is. So he's the only 4-year guy that has been around for the Bragg and Rice. And Underwood said to him, quote, he truly has a great understanding and appreciation of for this game and what Bragg and Rice is all about. He did an unbelievable job of remembering the tough night we had last year and helping in preparation for our guys this year.
Coleman 2-2 against Missouri. Three of those four teams were definitely better than Missouri last year. I don't think they were, but obviously the one seed year, they were better. The year where they destroyed them with Kofi and Plummer, they were better. Then obviously this season, much better. I think you take that 2-2, especially with, like, there's been a couple years where Missouri is just like really, like those guards that Missouri had, whether it was Pickett or you know, Kobe Brown's not a guard, but he killed them last year. Like, some of those older Missouri players just destroyed them every year. Drew Smith, not Mark Smith for sure. Mark Smith was a zero, but it's nice to win, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like this is not, if Missouri's going to keep failing in the portal like this, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Harmon played 16 minutes. He went 0-for-2. They were both threes, had a rebound and assist. Goody, 14 minutes, 6 points, 2-of-5, 1-of-4 from three, 1-of-2 from the line, 2 rebounds and assist. The other guys, Dane played 3 minutes, did nothing. AJ Red had a bucket in his 1 minute of play. Hansberry, 5 minutes, 2 points, 2 rebounds. DGL, 3 minutes, 0-for-1, took a three and fouled a guy. Max Williams, 1 minute, did nothing. There you go.
I would argue that Imani Hansberry was their second best player off the bench in this game. Only 5 minutes.
Really?
He looked really good. Made a shot, 2 rebounds. He's very good at knowing his assignment. He's assignment sure, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, makes himself useful. They only missed 11 twos in this game. 21 of 32 from two.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Steve says, do not double Edie or guards will bury the little guards. See if Edie's 30 can beat you. Yeah, we'll talk about that down the road. Lazy Forrest Gump says, what do you think about Jeremy Warner calling out Sleepers Media? No clue what you're talking about. If you want to update us on that, you can, unless Ethan knows.
No clue.
Yeah. All right. Other notes and quotes. Illinois out rebounded Missouri 51-35. Only 10 turnovers. Damask and Rogers each had 3. So they had 6 combined. Coleman and Terrence Shannon, after doing 4 apiece the last game, they only had 1 apiece this game, which is nice. 11 for 33 from 3 for 33.3%. 22 of 31 from the line for 71%. I think you take both those numbers. Again, I would like Illinois to shoot less than 33s, but it is what it is. Underwood asked the media afterwards if anybody knows what the OER is, and said that Illinois is at 1.7, and he is begging for people to press Illinois. He said 1.7 is elite. Anything over 1 is elite. And he said that we keep it simple and have multiple handlers. We can pass. We can shoot the ball. I relish it. We have big guards, speed, and athleticism. So Brad said, bring your press. We'll beat it all day long.
I thought this was very funny when Brad said that in the presser. I listened to it.
The OER?
Yeah, it's such a Brad quote. Like, the way he's saying it, he's just like, do you guys know what that is?
Yeah. Like, I'm always like, I don't think I should be telling you guys, telling people this. The other thing I thought interesting is one of the media guys asked if he runs any offensive sets. And he said, quote, two tonight. I have a whole big play card, two. He said, really complicated, huh? Games about Jimmys and Joes and not overly complicated. It's not complicated. Very simple tonight. Some people say coaching is hard. Brad Underwood says coaching is not. So what do you think about that?
Yep, there you go.
I think we all knew Brad didn't run plays, right? So there you go. Everybody that's out there saying Brad needs to run more plays, he's got a whole list of them. He just doesn't do it.
Don't need to run plays when you're beating the piss out of the team.
Yeah. Cindy says, my observation, this team has great chemistry and seems very happy for each other with one expectation.
I think this means exception, right?
I agree, it's got to be. Yes. I'll leave it at that. I think she's probably talking about Dane Danger.
Dane Danger, yeah.
People are saying that he was not very happy.
I mean, who cares? You know?
Yeah. Cindy says Sleepers and Warner went back and forth after Sleepers gave Illinois a D off-season grade. I don't think that's what he's talking about. Called Waddell a person who talks a lot and was horrible when he gave, I guess that's what they're talking about. Why not a D grade for off season like 3 months?
Isn't Werner supposed to be unbiased media beat reporter?
I think so, yeah. If they press, it spreads the floor. Perfect for Shannon. I agree.
You have to know that Illinois is good for engagement. And I think it's you guys absolutely in the comments right
now. Yeah. You're proving his point. Yeah, exactly. Squared Circled Square says we got to talk about Hawkins. What do you want to talk about Hawkins?
And there was such a bad taste left in the mouth of everybody after how last season ended that there wasn't a ton they could do in the portal for anybody to not give them a BS grade. And I think if you look at the portal, you're like, oh, Guerrier was kind of, didn't do much at Oregon last year, and Damask is a mid-major transfer, and Harmon's a mid-major transfer. I guess you could look at that and give them a D, and they didn't have any 5 stars come. I don't know.
Lazy Forrest Gump says Jeremy didn't use the name Sleepers, called him back by name. I mean, I've tried to go after Sleepers, but Ethan said we can't. So
no, they're good guys. They're good at getting engagement.
Lunkers, Dane. Lunker says Dane has to defend better. Hawkins does too. They will have their hands full against good bigs. We'll see it against Edie. I think we'll be okay, though. Is Danger getting enough minutes?
I would argue Danger's getting too many minutes.
That is an interesting call. But
no, right. I just think
you score 97 points and you win by 24, do you really complain? Like, are you really worried if somebody's getting
the freshman came in for two more minutes than you and looked way better? I don't know.
Yeah, Waddell has said he was wrong. Cindy's trying to start DGL drama. Calm down, Cindy. He's very happy where he's at. He even tweeted about it. So did his mother. Hawkins has been great. Yeah. I don't know. Hawkins has been great shooting well and making better decisions. If he limits himself to one step back per game, he will be a huge positive for
Illinois. I like it.
Lazy loves both the Inquirer and Sleepers. What about us, Lazy? Dane has to play better to get the minutes. Exactly. Why are we bringing up these inferior podcasts? Exactly. Forrest Gump, we can't have too many people talking about the team. Is Red legit? I mean, did you see that move?
Yes.
Cindy says, I agree. I wasn't terribly enthusiastic about the offseason transfers. Sleepers is solid. They're very complimentary of the program. Illinois fans can be overly homerish. The only thing that pissed me off was them saying that the bragging rights game isn't a real rivalry game. That pissed me off. So
I think you need to realize that
Danger played more.
We're in the area Mizzou. For it. We're Illini people. We're exactly in the area for this. Why would it matter to people from
exactly? Mizzou? I mean, especially when it gets buried on the SEC network at 8 but p.m. on Wednesday.
One issue I will say is that if you're going to talk about it and have an opinion on what the rivalry is, you should probably do a little bit more research and realize that, hey,
didn't even realize that it was in St. Louis. Like, that's the whole point of it.
And there's not that big of a difference between Champaign to St. Louis and Columbia to St. Louis. It's not, it's like Columbia is closer, but it's not that big of a difference. And they also need to realize how many Illinois fans are in the area that we're in, which is like an hour away from St. Louis. So it's right. closer. So the further south you go from Champaign, there's even more Illini fans.
Yeah.
But I do think if you're going to have an opinion on what the rivalry is and how it is and, you know, thoughts on what it is right now, you probably should do a little bit more research. I think that's fair. But it's their podcast. I don't know. Maybe they did it on purpose for views. That's good. We should do that. If we had a producer or somebody that cut clips for us.
I don't even know their names. The one's Waddell. What's the other guy's name?
Carter Elliott.
Carter Elliott. Carter Elliott didn't even know that it was in St. Louis. So
it was in Columbia 3 years ago.
Well, yeah, because of COVID, they flipped a quarter.
Yeah, that was BS.
Square Circle Square says, should we be ranked higher? I know your answer is who gives a.
Yeah, I mean, if Kentucky is eighth in this poll right now, I like Kentucky a lot, but I don't think they've earned being eighth, especially with a loss to UNC Wilmington.
Yeah.
And Kentucky's best win is what? North Carolina? Illinois over FAU is a better win than that. But yeah, the poll right now is just such a joke. And I think that Illini fans are reacting way too much to it. Like I don't know who it was, some Illini account.
Right now,
there was an Illini account. I think it was the ILL Lunatic. Is that a person? I think that's who it was saying something about how this FDU gave us bulletin board because they're ranked 11th. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. What else we got? Sleepers is drama content. Watching from Mount Vernon. I know people from Mount Vernon. Can Illini fans outdrink Mizzou fans? Depends on what Illinois fans you get. If you get Ethan, no. I don't. Jason said something about a podcaster consumer perspective. I don't know what that. Did he say something earlier that I missed?
No, I think we said something. I don't know. It's just that's the problem.
Okay. All right. What are we on now? I think you wrote all this other stuff. So
let's go over to this.
How about it? Let me get this off this banner off for you so people can read this.
Chart action.
We got Terrence a chart, Shane folks. Jr.
This is from Hoop Informatics at Hoop Informatics. You should follow them on Twitter. Absolutely.
Got a big crowd in Mount Vernon. Appreciate you guys.
I don't even know where that is. Terrence Shannon, look at this. 37 for 47 at the rim. 78.7%. Little struggle from the mid-range, but only 2 for 10 doesn't take him very much. 5 for 14 in the lane, you'll take that. Not a great corner three-point shooter. That's not a surprise, but he's shooting 43.9% at the top of the key. That'll play. That will play. I mean, that's 61% effective field goal percentage. The D1 average, that's got to be way ahead of that, right? So there you go. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
You look at Damask, he's a murderer inside the three-point line. but corner three is good. Outside of that, struggling from three. And this spot right here on the court, if you can see my mouse, I think he probably missed about 4 in this Missouri game from this spot of those 7.
I can't see your mouse. Oh, there it is.
Right there.
Yeah, it's true.
Right there.
So we want him shooting from the corner more. Is that what you're telling me?
You want him over here? Or you just want him to post somebody up? Look at that.
That's true.
50% from there. He's 61.3% in the lane. Had a nice step back jumper in this game from this spot.
Damask, stop shooting threes.
Unless you're in the corner and if you're wide open. Like he made that Rutgers. Remember, he made an early three at Rutgers from the corner. So that was good. Ty Rogers. Yeah. Hasn't taken a three. 1 for 6.
Look at that chart.
He's not a shooter. He's not a shooter. I'm fine with this, though. If he's 10 for 19 in the lane, take that all day.
I agree. He doesn't need to shoot.
He would be 20. He would be 20 of 31 probably, because I feel like there's been 4 times where he's turned away a shot at the rim.
Don't you think it'd be a bigger problem if Ty Rogers actually could shoot? Like, then what do? We got too many guys that can score.
About all that.
Too many guys that can score, right?
Yeah, Gary A struggled from the corner. He's been great top of the key, aside threes. Good in the lane, good at the rim, solid all the way around. Good chart for how much he was struggling early in the season.
I agree. And he's averaged over 20 points the last 3 games. So
Luke Goody is shooting 50% on non-corner threes. So 18 for 36, that's no joke at all.
How do you feel about Brad always sticking him in a corner then?
What else are you going to do with him?
I agree.
Coleman Hawkins, very divisive chart, not a surprise.
Oh, that is really blue. Really blue.
Well, he's 1 for 7 in the mid-range game, essentially. 25% corner threes. 9 for 31 from top of the key and
out of those non-corner shots, threes. Out of those 7 shots, do you think any of them are set shots?
No.
I don't think any.
He's 9 for 31 on non-corner threes. I would say Coleman probably went, what, like 3 for 5 in non. He was literally 3 for 5 in the last game, so yeah. That's going to help your percentage. These charts are really telling us how great Shannon is, I think. Harmon, 1 for 2 on non-corner threes.
Get him out of the corner, too. Holy cow.
4 for 14, not a large sample size. 9 for 15 at the rim, I think that's great. Not a lot of mid-range shooters in this team, I would say, except for Damask. Or Dane Danger's 1 for 2 in the mid-range, which was definitely a left-handed hook against somebody.
From the free throw line, I think. Left-hander from the free throw line.
Dane, though, 72% around the rim. I guess that's good. He's
6'11". So.
Yeah, just it's tough. It's tough. DGL. I think a lot of these numbers, whether it's 7 for 9 at the rim or 2 for 4 in the mid-range, were early in the season.
Yeah.
And he's not been great from three. He's shooting 3 for 18 from three, 2 for 8 in the lane. Not great. Hansberry is a rebounder. So somehow has taken 4 threes and is shooting higher percentages than Damask.
Sounds right.
7 for 11 at the rim. That's not bad. Nico Moretti, 3 for 3, shooting 100%. 100% for the season. How about that?
He'll be starting here in 3 weeks when he's back.
4 for 4 from the field on the year. AJ Red, 1 for 2 on the season. Pretty solid. Get a little Max Williams action, 0 for 1 on the season. Why would he waste his time doing that? Cards for those guys. But anyway, bottom line is that Shannon is great and everybody else has other good parts of their game. And Gary is good.
You know what that makes?
Quality ball club.
Really good team. Had some comments while you're doing that. Philip says Illinois at Purdue will be fun. Purdue has lost its conference home game in early January without students the last 2 years. Rutgers last year in Wisconsin. The year before. Ugh, that's not good for Illinois. Jeffrey would like to see Harmon to hit more threes. Squared Circle Squares wants to know who the most underrated Illinois player is.
Amani Hansberry. He doesn't play enough. I don't know if there is anybody.
I
feel like people, aka you, are more down on Damask right now than they should be.
I would consider Ty Rogers underrated. But
yeah, usually those guys that do the little things don't get the shine outside of the fan base. But also, that going back to that Purdue thing, I like to focus on being 11-2 going into that game and beating Northwestern and FDU. Yeah, and I think that's actually a good thing for Illinois, by the way.
What do you think about Goody replacing Harmon in the starting lineup?
Well, Harmon's not in the lineup, but you know, whatever.
Lunkers, Quincy is a beast. I want him shooting. Yeah, Quincy's been really good lately. His wrist is healed, I guess. Goody will be key down the stretch. Jason says, from a podcast consumer, insider Illini equals media perspective. Sleepers outside fan perspective. Armchair equals talking Illini hoops with the boys. I appreciate what each of you bring. Thank you. We're called the Illini Basketball Podcast, though. Shout out Armchair Illini.
Why'd you have to do that?
I'm just joking. I'm just trying to be funny. I don't know.
I don't know if you are, but okay.
I'm not very good at being funny, guys. Sorry.
There you go. Now 3 and 4 under Brad Underwood against Missouri. So won 2 of the last 3, if that counts for anything, after a rough start. And I feel good about the future of the rivalry or the non-rivalry, according to Sleepers Media. Since they're in 2 different states. Whoa. Jeez. How's that possible?
What do you think the biggest non-conference rivalry is?
Well, Kentucky and Louisville. Louisville sucks now, so that's kind of dead.
Yeah.
Is there even a good one anymore? I mean, Nebraska Creighton's a banger.
Yeah, good talk. All right.
St. John's, no, they don't have anything.
Jeffrey meant for more playing time. I mean, they average about the same minutes.
Yeah, I'm pretty okay with them being 6 and 7 in the rotation.
15 a game.
Who's number 8 in the rotation right now?
Do we go that far?
If you're going to put somebody in the 8 spot, who is it?
I mean, I guess Dane Danger.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, he's played a grand total of 22 minutes in the last 3 games.
You can't say it's DGL and you can't say it's Hansberry, so it has to be Dane Danger.
Yeah, not for long.
Jeff agrees. Dane.
Not for long.
Not for long.
Illinois has been the 3rd best team in the country overall in the month of December, according to Bart Torvik.
Did you just steal that from that guy that said that earlier?
No, I saw it on Twitter. He was talking about offensive efficiency.
Yeah.
Talking about overall. So, and I think Illinois probably had a pretty tough schedule like that would back that up too. Like, they played FAU and Tennessee in this month. I don't think it's Purdue level schedule because Purdue in December has played Northwestern, Alabama, and Arizona. But Houston, Illinois definitely played a harder schedule than Houston in December.
Embra says early games the team wasn't so much gelling. Where is Curbelo? Mississippi Valley or something? No, Southern? No. Southern something, right? Where's he at?
Southern Mississippi.
He's not at St. John's anymore. Southern Mississippi?
Mm-hmm.
I just said Mississippi Southern, and you said no. Like I was in
No,
idiot.
You said Mississippi Valley first.
So, and then I said Southern. Holy cow. Then he says, you think we'll have some big NIL badges with Terrence and Coleman leaving? Is that bags?
Have something for sure. Curbelo's team is 6-6. I'm being told.
Did Curbelo play? There's some big lawsuit going on, right? Or something.
They're 1-1 with him. He's played 2 games. Last game they lost to Ole Miss by 15. He had 13 points on 4 of 4 shooting, 3 rebounds and assists, 3 turnovers, and fouled out.
Philip says, what if Curbelo never had the concussion issues and played that entire season and developed and was still here? Curbelo at Southern Mississippi. What if Brandon Podziemski never left?
Oh, God.
Gary says, Sleevers has changed their mind on Illini. They are complimentary and think Illini are Final Four. Yeah, they're bandwagon guys.
One of the problems with the media landscape overall in sports right now is the jumping from one side to another so quickly. And I try not to do that. That's why I still think, you know, the top of the country right now, it is, you know, Purdue, Arizona, UConn, Kansas. Like, I'm not going to shift too far away from that. I'm not just going to say a team stinks. Like, I think Michigan State got off to a really bad start, but I'm not going to sit here and say that team's not going to make the tournament because I think they probably will.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to not do that. If you look at other examples in other sports to prove that it's kind of a thing that happens in every sport, look at what people are saying about the 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy after last night. He was the MVP favorite going in, throws 4 picks, and now all of a sudden he stinks and they need a new quarterback. Like that's the problem in sports media right now overall, I think. Yeah.
And you can consume so much media so fast.
Yeah. So I pledge to never do that unless somebody's paying me a ton of money, then I will do it. So
Steve says he likes our podcast because it's all Illini. Ethan does get off course sometimes, but Lunker says because we had like 5 seniors, can't believe Pods didn't get no playing time. Now he's starting with Curry. Yeah, we're going to talk about pods here in a little bit. It's kind of been all over Twitter. So we'll cover the FDU game, and then we'll talk about pods, and you guys can tell us your opinions then.
But. Yeah, that'll be great. All right, Illinois up to number 11 in the poll. Could very well, and I whispered this to you during the watch party as not to jinx it, they very well could be a top 10 team. I mean, it's almost a guarantee if they win this game, they're going to be a top 10 team going into Big Ten play.
Some Illini fans would say that they should already be one.
Which, who cares? they're 9-2. Fairleigh Dickinson coming into town. Last non-conference game of the regular season. They're 6-7. 8 o'clock Friday night. Big Ten Network. I'm being told we're doing a watch party for this, so be on the lookout for that. I think our new watch party policy should just be do it every time we can at this point, because I feel like, even if it's like a game where we're like, okay, who cares? Or we don't really want to do this game because, you know, it might be too insane. Mm-hmm. I think we should just do it, but you know, whatever. FDU was a 16 seed last season. Of course, beat Purdue in the first round. Their head coach, Tobin Anderson, left for Iona. It was a magical run, more than that, probably because they were not a good, like overall, that was not a very good basketball team last year. They were not even close to UMBC, who was the first team to beat a one seed as a 16 seed in 2018 over Virginia. This year, they're 282nd in D1 experience. So they're pretty young, and they got some guys that are JUCO transfers. Their best win of the season was against number 243 on KenPom, St. Peter's, and KenPom's number 289, Robert Morris, is their worst loss. Their only other high major opponent before this one this season has been Seton Hall. They lost to Seton Hall by 30. Projected lineup, point guard Devontae Johnson, 5'8", yikes, senior, JUCO transfer, 36th in the country, though, in assist rate, 33.9%, that's pretty good. Guard Joe Munden, 6'3", senior, was on the team last season, shot 34% from three. 6'5", Sean Moore, senior, struggled in the last game offensively. See if he can get it going. Sophomore forward Joel Emmanuel, 6'6", 18 points in the last game. He had 6 turnovers in the game before that. And then center Ansley Almanor, 6'7", junior, 26 of 85 from three this season. He's made 10 threes in the last three games. KenPom numbers, Illinois 21st in offensive efficiency, 13th in defensive efficiency, FDU 232nd offensively, and 358th defensively. So they are not a good defensive team by any number that you look at. Average height, Illinois is 11th in the country, FDU 358th. So another game where Illinois has the athleticism advantage. They have the height advantage. They have the strength advantage. So there you go. Two-point percentage, Illinois 56.8%, 22nd in the country. Still rising. Top 200 in three-point percentage, now 32.6%, 199th. FDU is 186th in two-point percentage at 49.9, and 252nd in three-point percentage at 30.9. This should not be a game where anybody has to be nervous.
Yeah.
So players to watch.
Yeah, I'm going with Luke Goody. I said that he was going to score 12 points. Make 4 threes, and he went 1 of 4 against Missouri. So I expect Luke Goody to get some shots up in this game. I am going with Sean Moore for FDU because he scored 19 against Purdue last year when they lost. So that's about it.
All right. I'm going with Dane Danger. FDU is small, so I expect Danger to get some run.
Does Danger play more than 10 minutes?
I would not feel comfortable answering that, I would say.
He's got to play more than 10 minutes in this game.
Yeah, I think Hansberry's going to get more than he got in the last game, though, too. So
really?
Yeah, I can see him getting 8 to 12. He does all the right things. That's what Brad probably wants. For FDU, my player to watch is Ansley Amanor, the center. Step out and shoot it. Doesn't block shots. He's not had – I don't know if he's had any game with more than 2 blocks this year. So Illinois should be able to destroy in the paint. Just get it in there, and you're probably going to score.
Philip said, who's taking the WBFDU sign to West Lafayette? Jeff says, would you like us to bully teams more with trapping the ball? Yeah, I wish Illinois would press more. I think that they have the ability and the size to do it. They did it against Tennessee towards the end of the game, but yeah, I feel like in games like against Tennessee and those other top ranked teams, I think that they should press the ball, press more. But Phillips said Illinois 2005 1-16 game was against FDU.
Beat them by 12, 67-55.
Wow.
Then they got really bad, and then they've been bad, and then last year they weren't good, but then they won a tournament game somehow. So.
Predictions. I got Illinois winning this 87-58. FDU is not getting to 60.
I'm not sure if Illinois is going to get to 90, but I'm going to predict it. I'm going to go Illinois 93, FDU 64, because FDU is going to have 56 points with 2 minutes left. They're going to make two quick threes and then a layup, and it's garbage time, and, you know, going to get 64. Illinois can't defend, folks. Look it up. No, I'm just kidding. 13th in defensive efficiency are the Illini, so the most balanced team on with all the numbers that Brad's had since, of course, the 2021 team. So this team is certainly on track to be his second best team at Illinois, at least.
Steve says 103-59.
I'd be okay with that. They're going to break 100 at some point, right? This is kind of their last chance to do it, I guess.
Berge said Michigan State lost a starter. Yeah, Jeremy Fears was shot in the leg over Christmas break. They said 3 months, so hopefully quick recovery for him. Sad deal. Jeffrey says Arizona has a confidence problem right now and poor center play. Marquette has been getting manhandled and roughed up. Imbra says ask Arizona what it's like to talk trash to Braden Smith. And Jeffrey is not impressed by Houston.
Boom. Yeah, I don't know. What are you going to say?
I don't know. Why? How come Houston's playing such a weak pre-conference schedule? Are they scared?
I don't think it's that weak. I mean, it's weak, but, like, Utah's a pretty good team. Dayton's a team that you picked to win the A-10. Xavier's a top 45 team. And Texas A&M's a top 25 KenPom team. That's four decent opponents. They're just not playing like the schedules that most teams around them are playing, like Purdue and Arizona and UConn. So, I don't know. I mean, Houston's, like, been good for the last 4 or 5 years. I don't know how much more you need to see to, like, give them respect and be like, yeah, they're good. I don't know how good, but they're good. It's all going to be about conference play in the Big 12 this year. So, they have really good guards. That's what Houston has, really good guards, experienced guards. LJ Cryer, Emmanuel Sharp, Jamal Shedd. That's what they have. All right. Podge put out a tweet. I think we need to remember that, you know. Okay, this really blew up. I'll say that.
It did. And I think it kind of – I don't think he meant it like Illinois fans took it. Like, I think it was more of a keep following your dreams, keep striving to be better, good things can happen.
Like, but I think there's also an air of saltiness that Illini fans maybe feel because
he's starting for the Golden State Warriors now and Brad didn't keep him around.
Well, I feel like hasn't his dad said something before or something similar along, like, you know, I feel like his dad is mad that he didn't get to play more at Illinois or something. Something had to have happened. I feel like,
I mean, I get it. Like I understand that they thought me and you were big Podge supporters. We wish that he would have played more when he was a freshman and he came in and he sucked. We still thought he should play more. So
he had a good game against somebody 1 year, St. Francis, I think. He had a good game, if I remember correctly. The tweet said, 2 years ago at this time, I had 17 DNPs, which are, you know, did not play, and only played garbage time. 1 year ago at this time, I wasn't on any draft boards, which this part here, I don't understand. 5 months ago, all I heard was that I was a bust. I don't think anybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about that. I think people might have liked the pick. Started the year out of the rotation. Now I'm starting with the best franchise in the NBA, which successfully they have been the best over the last decade, but currently they kind of stink, and that's why he's starting. But he's been really good. He was really good yesterday.
Well, it ended with hashtag, if I can do it, you can do it too. Like, it was a motivational thing. It wasn't
I was going to leave that out. But cool.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's how Illinois fans took it.
There's a problem. There's multiple layers here that I think we need to think about, okay? I think what Illinois fans got most annoyed about is how many people were saying, oh, how could he not have played more at Illinois? Or how could, like, we need to remember what was in front of him. And also, like, RJ Melendez played better than him that year in garbage minutes. Luke Goody played better than him that year. Like, he was their worst freshman in those garbage minutes out of the three. So I think there's a hindsight thing that we need to think about. Like, he's really – yeah, he's great. But he went to a Santa Clara program that doesn't always have great teams, but they've produced several NBA players over the years, and he showed how good he was. And I don't think he should be mad at Illinois, which I don't know if he is. I don't think Illinois fans should be mad at him. I don't think casual people who aren't close to the program or haven't paid attention should think that he should have been like a starter or something. I think there's an argument to make that he could have played more minutes, yes, but we can't sit here, and I've said this many times over the last year, we can't sit here and say that Brad Underwood can't evaluate talent because he let Pajemski go. We can't.
I agree. And Brad might have not have had any say in it. I mean, Pajemski might have just wanted to leave because he didn't like it at Illinois, and he wanted to be somewhere where he was the guy. He was never going to be, regardless of if he was NBA talent, he wasn't ever going to be the guy at Illinois, which is perfectly fine. Go out there and chase your dreams. I think what kind of has irritated me the most is Stephen Bardo's take on all this. like, he has been going at Illinois fans and kind of going at Brad Underwood on top of that, because he said, because people were saying, like, oh, he expected to play over Trent Frazier or what, and all this stuff. And Bardo retweeted and said, how many of these players are starting in the NBA? And then he also retweeted one and said, how did they finish in the NCAA tournament that season? Like, you think Brandon Pajemski would have made that team go farther in the tournament if he would have played more? I just think that's a crazy take from a Illinois alumni to be going like this. So,
also, the rotation that season was like pretty inconsistent in how the minutes were. Like, there were a lot of games where RJ didn't do anything, or there were games where Goody didn't do anything, or Coleman was playing the majority of the minutes off the bench, and Curbelo had a bad season, but he was still playing a lot. Yeah. I don't know. I think Bardo's looking at it completely blindly. I don't understand what he's even trying to say.
Yeah. Jeff says sometimes the talent around a player just makes the difference, or lack of talent.
And do you all of a sudden have to be an elite college player to be good in the NBA, or vice versa? If you're a bad college player, you can't be good in the NBA. Like, it's stupid. Yeah. His argument is so insanely stupid. It makes me wonder why they still let him on TV.
Yeah, the one he quote tweeted that said, how did they finish the NCAA, was they won the Big Ten regular season title that year. I think Underwood played the right guys. So Bardo was basically saying, if he played Pajemski, you would have won more NCAA games.
We have to give some thanks to
And also, Pajemski was a freshman at that point, too. I mean, you're the freshman to sophomore leap is probably one of the biggest leaps in college basketball.
He also wasn't a top 50 freshman.
Yeah, he was coming in, three-star.
Yeah,
out of Wisconsin,
he was the third best recruit out of three that they brought in that year.
Yeah,
and I don't think, no disrespect to Pajemski at all, obviously, I don't think a 6'5" white freshman is going to be the difference against the super athlete team that was the 31-5 at the time Houston team that year.
Right,
like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know what Bardo's babbling on about. That's an absolutely insane argument. And we have to give thanks to Nebraska, because Illinois does not win a share of the Big Ten regular season without Nebraska.
True.
I feel like that gets lost. True. We just blindly say Illinois won the Big Ten. Nebraska beat Wisconsin, which was a major upset. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Nebraska. Always a fan of Nebraska, probably because they've never really beat Illinois while we're doing this podcast. So
I think that it kind of just, I think Illinois fans read too much into it. I think non-Illinois fans basically called other Illinois fans stupid for it. And I think that way it's just time to move on, right? Like, Illinois is ranked 11th in the nation. Who cares what Brandon Pajemski's doing for Golden State right now? Unless you're a Golden State fan, then you can care. Other than that, let's not. So that's my take.
Yeah, I feel like if anybody expected us to go crazy with our take here, you know, prove we're not looking for the clicks.
Yeah, we're not. We're not
common sense. We're practicing common sense,
baby. Yeah,
I think. I just think that the big part about it is like, as Illinois fans and Illinois Twitter, I think we really need to focus on the fact that this team this year is good, and we need to stop worrying about games in the future, games in the past, players who haven't played at Illinois for over a season. And let's also throw this out there. Like, Pajemski's never publicly said anything like straight up about.
I'm pretty sure he came to an Illinois football game this year.
There you go.
Was he not? I'm pretty sure
is a strong, you know,
I remember him. There are pictures of him with Coleman Hawkins at a football game this year.
Yeah, I'm going to research that one.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. No drama basketball. Philip wants to know, how many Big Ten tournament teams do you think there will be? And that's more your thing than my thing. You want me to tell you how many I think there will be?
I think everybody wants to hear that, yeah.
7.
All right. Good.
You want to know who I think they'll be?
You have any guess?
Nope. I'm going to tell you right now.
Fine. Jesus.
Illinois. Purdue. You can only go to 7, right? Wisconsin. Indiana. Michigan State. Five. I'm going with 5.
Ohio State?
Nope.
Seriously? Ohio State, who has a top 45.
Ohio State, okay, 6. I'll go with 6.
And the number 20 adjusted offense.
Okay, I'll go with 6. Okay, all right.
Indiana is probably going to sink in Big Ten play. So
the only game I'm worried about is the Purdue game and how Brad plays them defensively. Jeff thinks there's 5. Bootzilla thinks Iowa's getting in.
Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan State, Nebraska, boom.
Boom.
Northwestern, 7. I'm going to go 7.
7?
Yeah, Nebraska's going to get in, folks. They're going to shock the world. I think a big one there, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, and Indiana will be on the bubble. From a metrics perspective, I would say Illinois, Wisconsin, Purdue, Ohio State, Nebraska, Michigan State are the only tournament-worthy teams. So that's 6, because those are the most balanced and highest-rated teams overall. But, you know, what can you do? There are a lot of teams in the Big Ten that are good in one area of the game and bad at the other, or vice versa, or both. So, Big Ten, what a conference. What a run. if you look at the college basketball schedule to end the year, not a lot going on. Tomorrow's game of the day is Chicago State against Cal Baptist. But pick it back up Thursday. You got USC Oregon. That's a quality game. Illinois, Fairleigh Dickinson, big game. Creighton Marquette on Saturday, huh?
What's going on?
Indiana State, Michigan State, that'll be an interesting game.
Bootsilla thinks Maryland might get in.
Yeah, they're 8-4 now, starting to figure it out.
Do you have any around the Big Ten stuff to talk about?
I was just going to look at the schedule to start the year. If you look at that Tuesday, January 2nd, you have Purdue, Maryland, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois, Northwestern. So that's a pretty good way to start the conference season. Indiana, Nebraska on the Wednesday. Illinois Purdue Friday. Why is that a Friday night game? That's such BS. It should be a Saturday game. I hate when they do that. I really do. But, you know, if you look at the schedule for the first big Saturday conference day, January 6th, it's a pretty good one. So be on the lookout, folks. Big time.
And Brott says the Big Ten's looking tougher this year.
Teams that started slow are starting to figure it out a little bit, like Michigan State and Maryland. So,
Scheidwinder, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody. I guess we didn't say that at the beginning.
It's over.
If you guys care, I did get this sweet. I never have an Illinois cup to drink out of. This sweet Illinois cup shining all over the place. But Merry Chrysler, as they say. Anyways. Oh. Yeah, we'd like to thank the Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon at 700 East Broadway Avenue in Mattoon, Illinois. It's Tuesday. I think they're open. You can get the grilled tenderloin tips. They do have happy hour every weekday from 4 to 6. For $7, you can get a small nacho, beer-battered mushrooms, Wisconsin cheese curds, or fried green beans. Or for $9, you can get 10 wings or bull bites, hen pecks, or sliders. Always good food over there at the Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon. If you would like to be a sponsor for one of our episodes or all of our episodes or a watch party or all our watch parties, reach out to us on Twitter or email us at IlliniBasketballPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe. We're pushing for 500. I think we're at like 417-ish. We had a bunch of kids at the watch party. We told them all to go follow our YouTube. So hopefully they did that. Give us the thumbs up. Share it. Comment. I don't know, somebody's screaming in my house or something. So, Jason, hometown. Yeah.
I just went
through Mattoon. We had our Christmas over there and went through the light show. If you haven't been to Mattoon's light show, good stuff. Good stuff.
All right, that's enough. Just retweeted a tweet from @NoParodies, a.k.a. Kyle Wayne Short. Said, can Illini fans deny Bardo in general? He doesn't rep the school, and he's always playing innocent but clearly against it. Have we not been banging the Bardo, anti-Bardo drum for years? Like, here's the thing. I've said this so many times, and I don't think anybody – it went over everybody's head, but now he's got a couple stupid opinions on Twitter, and everybody's, you know, joining me.
Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon.
Here's what I've said 1,000 times. I have said it seems like he's trying so hard to not seem biased.
Yeah.
That it's just like he hates them. Just I think he might, but also Illinois fans, you know what? We can't expect him to be just a straight up homer. I think that's also should be said. But the response to this tweet was, loved him as a part of the 89 team, but he is brutal as an analyst. Anytime he's doing an Illinois game, I have to mute him, which I think is fair. It's tough. It's tough.
Tough but fair. Nothing wrong with that. Jeff said he loved the fake halftime show last game. Also fair.
It was good. Yeah. What's the weather look like for Friday? Am I gonna be able to do the free throws? Probably not. Probably gonna be cold. I mean, I could do them, but
I don't know. What's the weather supposed to be like?
39 with snow showers in the morning.
Oh man, a snowy halftime show. That would be fun.
Would it though?
Yeah, it would. I mean, I'm gonna stay downstairs in the basement, but you can go up there.
I mean, I'll obviously do it, but
I know you will. Yeah, right. For the people. You're for the people. We all know.
Absolutely. Everybody knows that. All right. That'll do it for us. We'll see everybody Friday night. After that, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to try to get Brian Benz from Armchair Illini back in the podcast again. Probably try to do that before the Northwestern game.
When's the Northwestern game?
That game is the 2nd, I think. January 2nd.
Oh, man. Okay.
That's tough. We're going to have to squeeze it in. It's either going to be Monday. It's either going to have to be. I mean, I'm going to be gone the 30th through the 1st, but I'll be back on the 1st. We could either do the 1st or we have to do day of the game. Game's not till 8. So we'll figure something out. We'll see everybody.
We'll be back
on Friday night for the game against a highly regarded FDU team. See ya.